Good morning, and welcome in the name of Christ. We are so glad that you've taken the time to join us for this morning's message. As we continue to look at the down-to-earth advice James gives to his people, today we are working with James chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. I have a question for you today. Have you ever said something that you regretted? Well, of course you have. We've all done it. When it happens, we make all kinds of excuses for it, but once those words are out of our mouths, we can't take them back. One of the reasons the Bible continues to be the most widely read book in history can be clearly seen in our passage for today. It is because the Bible is about us and the human condition. It's about our relationship with God and our relationships with other people, so it never becomes outdated. And while the planet's climate may change, while we make great advances in science and technology, and while we continue to gain in our understanding of the natural world and the workings of the universe, our relationship with other people and the way we interact with them has not changed in thousands of years. What James writes in his letter today is just as applicable for us as it was for his people over 2,000 years ago. And even with all of our technology and education, humanity is no closer to taming the tongue today than it was in James's time. In fact, since we have so many different forms of communication available to us today than they had back then, taming the tongue may be even more difficult for us today than it was for them. Well, I did say that once we speak words that are hurtful or inappropriate, we can't take them back. Once they're out there. As someone once said, you cannot unring the bell. But now that may no longer be entirely true. That is, if you said it on Twitter. As most everyone knows, Twitter is a social media platform that allows for a short message to be communicated to the world in 280 characters or less. So now, not only do we have the spoken word and the written word, but now we also have the digital word, which gives us yet another way that we can put our foot in our mouths. Isn't that just great news? Even those who don't have a cell phone and have never sent a tweet in their lives have heard of the exploits of our current president by means of his Twitter account. Whereas previous presidents always got their message out there to the world by a speech transmitted often by radio or television, these days, we are more likely to instantly hear whatever President Trump happens to be thinking about at any particular moment in time through a tweet. The instantaneous capability of Twitter allows someone to comment about something they've read, seen, or experienced very quickly. The result of this is often not a good one, because having time to think about what you're going to say before you say it is always a good thing. Because someone can instantly disseminate their thoughts via Twitter, it has often resulted in a major faux pas that is instantly public. However, now I'm told that now Twitter is giving its users the capability to delete a tweet that they wish they had not sent. President Trump has had to delete his fair share of tweets, as have many of his political opponents. One example I read about is that the U.S. Department of Education once posted a tweet that had a misspelled word in it. Let me repeat that. The Department of Education once had to delete a tweet that had a misspelled word in it. Not good. So they deleted it and then posted a correction with an apology for the typo. While it has always been important to watch what we say and temper our speech, I think it is even more so now than ever before. And these days, you must be on guard everywhere you go. I wonder if there is anything that is off the record or safe to say in private these days. Because virtually everyone has a video recorder in their pocket. You just never know who might be recording everything you say. And you won't even know that you were being recorded until someone lets you know that they saw you on YouTube. And guess what? By the time you see it, a million other people have also seen what you should not have said. Misspoken words. We have them in every language and culture on earth. And it is a condition that afflicts us all. Just think of all the euphemisms and terms that we have invented just to describe these things. We call them bloopers, blunders, boners, boo-boos, flubs, bungles, foul-ups, pratfalls, faux pas. Or we might say that we stuck our foot in our mouths. Just imagine how confusing this is for someone coming to America and then is trying to learn the English language. The fact is, words do have power. Your parents may have tried to teach you that sticks and stones may break your bones, but words will never harm you. However, we know that words can sometimes cause wounds that will last a lifetime. I have had more than one person sitting in my office over the years relating a story to me about something a parent or a teacher or a coach said to them years ago that still hurts them to this day, and they just can't put it behind them. What we say can embarrass us, hurt others, and can certainly hurt ourselves. It can devastate relationships and do lasting damage that is not easily repaired. Our careless words can cause friendships to be lost, marriages to be strained, and add uncomfortable levels of stress to work, school, and church environments. While this is something we all seem to understand, still we all have had problems at one time or another controlling our tongues, haven't we? Once a careless word has left our mouths, it is no longer under our control. You can't put the toothpaste back in the tube, and you can't unring the bell. And while you might be able to delete a tweet, you cannot delete the effects on the people who read it. Like a bit in a horse's mouth or the rudder of a ship, James teaches us that our tongues can lead us to places we really do not want to go. Then he reminds us that the damage can be catastrophic. Consider what great forest is set on fire by a small spark, James says. So too can gossip or careless words wreak havoc on our relationships and our reputations. And as we have seen recently in the news, it can get someone fired from their job and suddenly end an otherwise brilliant career. James's message to us today is one of caution. Have you ever gotten caught up in a conversation where a fellow worker who was complaining about another worker or a boss and you suddenly joined in on the conversation, only to suddenly notice that the person you were talking about was close by and might have overheard what you said? How did that make you feel? Now consider this. Does it really matter if what you said was true or not? In almost every case, wouldn't it have been better if you had not said anything at all? Most of the other New Testament writers address this topic, but especially the author of Proverbs had a lot to say about careless speech. Proverbs 11:9, "With his mouth the godless man would destroy his neighbor, but by knowledge the righteous are delivered." 12:18, "Reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing." 12:22, "Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who act faithfully are his delight." 15:1, "A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." 15:4, "The tongue that brings healing is a tree of life, but a deceitful tongue crushes the spirit." 16:24, "Gracious words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the body." 16:27, A worthless man plots evil, and his speech is like a scorching fire. 17:9. He who covers an offense promotes love, but whoever repeats the matter separates close friends. 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. 21:19. It is better to live alone in a desert land than with a quarrelsome and complaining woman. 21:23. He who guards his mouth and his tongue keeps himself out of trouble. 25:18. A man who bears false witness against his neighbor is like a war club, or sword, or a sharp arrow. As charcoal to embers and as wood to fire, so is a quarrelsome man for kindling strife. 26:28. A lying tongue hates its victims, and a flattering mouth works ruin. James admonishes us to get in control of our tongues and our words. He reminds us that we always have a choice, and we are the ones with our hands on the rudder. We are the ones holding the reins of our tongues. Can you ever remember a time when you were that person standing around the corner listening to what others were saying about you, believing that you were not around to hear what they had to say? How did that make you feel? Again, a mean-spirited word is like a small spark that grows into a raging fire. Once spoken, our words are no longer under our control. But fortunately, our words can also be used to bless, as James makes very clear. Our words can be used to bring healing and encouragement, as well as hurt. Every word we speak falls into one of three categories: emotionally hurtful, soothing and healing, or neutral. Because we are often engaged in speaking, most of what we say is simply informational, and we can classify it as neutral speech. However, if you had to stop and honestly evaluate the rest of your words, would most of them be hurtful or healing? Would most of what you say to others be edifying, encouraging, and helpful? Or would they be complaining and critical, or even downright nasty? As our words have the power to destroy, so also they have the power to strengthen, encourage, and affirm those whom we come in contact with. And as the people of God, I believe we are called to be encouragers. When we come together on a Sunday morning to praise God, sing together, pray together, confess a shared faith, and plan the mission and ministries of our church, we are using our tongues in service to God. When we meet with a friend over a cup of coffee, share a meal in the fellowship hall, or share our faith story in a small group Bible study or Sunday school class, that is positive speech. If we are willing to share our past missteps in order to help others not make the same mistakes that we made, or encourage someone who is struggling, or pray for a sick friend, we are, in the words of James, sharing a blessing. But we shouldn't be satisfied with just doing that. When we thank a supervisor for their leadership, encourage someone we work with a kind word, leave a decent tip for a waitress, thank the person who served us, compliment instead of condemn, praise instead of criticize, when we do these things, we are living out the calling we have as followers of Jesus Christ. Yes, the tongue is a powerful thing indeed. We can use it to build up, affirm, and encourage, or we can use it to tear down, vilify, and destroy. Consider this. If you ever start to say something to a friend and then look around to see who might be listening, perhaps you should just stop and ask yourself if it just might be better to leave it unsaid. I remember one of the admonishments my father would sometimes tell my brother and I whenever they took us somewhere. He would tell us, "Now boys, watch your mouths." And while they communicated the same thing, although in very different words, I believe James and my father were in total agreement. Watching your mouth was good advice then and good advice now, so that we may be salt and light. Amen.